Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We're so glad that you are with us today. A couple announcements that I have. I want to say thank you to this church for your investment in my continuing education. I just got back on Friday from a week-long conference in the Chicago area that talked about church conflict and mediation skills, and I learned a lot, and I plan to integrate that into how I am as a pastor in all sorts of ways, and I appreciate that. It was a significant investment of time and a significant investment of money, and I just want to say thank you for that. There were long days, and I came back on Friday, and I could barely stand up. I was so tired. So I'm going to take tomorrow morning off. I've got a meeting in the afternoon and a meeting and church council tomorrow night, and so I'm gonna sleep in a little and kind of re-energize myself for the week ahead, go from there. Any other announcements that we should be aware of?
I just have a couple. Youth group sign up is out now. The dates have been confirmed. It's now Monday nights from 7 to 8. If you have any questions, contact Kim Hansen. There's a new sign up sheet for drivers for you on Sunday, so take a look at that. I have it out for the rest of the year. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate all of those volunteers who are willing to do all of that. Anything else today? Okay, then let's share the peace of Christ with one another. The question was raised this morning, wondering if anybody knows how much we made on the brat fry. And if we don't, we'll find out next Sunday.
Join me for the call to worship. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from the heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted. The world is ablaze around us with pain and suffering, natural disasters and human schemes, injustice and brokenness. Create again, O God of fire. Respond to the needs of your people and shepherd us to be good stewards of your creation. Let your holy fire meet the infernos that seek to consume us with refining and renewing power. Redeem again, O God of hosts. Ignite a flame within your kingdom that will spread as a wildfire of righteousness and love. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Please join me in the opening prayer. God of truth, you are who you are, not who we you want to be. Jesus was who he was, not who others pressured him to be. Your spirit is in us as it is, not as others wish. You know us as who we are, not what others think of us. Speak to us now your truth. Call us to your word, that coming close to you, we may come close to ourselves and live out our true calling in this world. We pray in the name and the company and the courage of Jesus. Amen. Please join us in the opening hymn, number 134, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. In the prayer for transformation and new life. Transforming one, forgive us for dampening your fire, even for our failure to recognize your movement among us. Help us to follow in the path of life abundantly for our neighbors and ourselves. Make us instruments of your kingdom as we encourage and uplift one another like iron sharpens iron. Surround us as a community of accountability and support to transform us in your image, character, and nature. We receive the gift of new grace, new mercies, and new life that you offer to each of us. Amen.
Friends, receive these words of grace. Beloved, in Jeremiah 23:29, the voice declares, "Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces?" We may be assured of God's power to break down in order to build back up. The brokenness we experience in life does not have the final word. For the redemptive love of God makes all things new. And the healing grace of God restores and repairs. New life in Christ awaits us all this day and every day. We are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
This morning's scripture is from Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. I will sing for my beloved my love song concerning this vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded rotten grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield rotten grapes? And now I tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a wasteland. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are its cherished garden. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. And from our New Testament reading, we have Luke 12, 49 to 56. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already ablaze. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, is it going to rain? And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Give Deanne a little bit of time so she doesn't have to run. She's doing the media today too. A little quick story about our opening hymn. That I always have to chuckle when I hear that opening hymn because it connects me to one of my seminary memories. One day I was in Christopher Grundy's preaching class and he said, "You know the hymn Sweet Sweet Spirit? Let's sing it so loud that hopefully we can distract Dr. Sanders' class all the way down the hall." And so here, all of these seminarians, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And as soon as we finished it, we just heard this peal of laughter from, so it worked. So we woke him up at 8 a.m. and it's just a funny little story that I always kind of remember with a smile. So today's media song is Courage to Grow by a group named Revolution.
Well, you can gain the world,
Putting that together for us, Deanne. How often do you get reggae in worship? I love it. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So I want to recognize that today's texts are kind of gnarly. It's not the kind of texts that that you would expect coming from Jesus, because so many of us think of Jesus as this kind and caring individual who brings peace and love and hope to so many people. Some of you might think, well, did Jacob's brain fry while he was at this conference? Does Jacob have an axe to grind? I would like to think that my brain is mostly intact after coming back, and I don't think I could even lift an axe, much less grind it. But really, here we are with a passage in our Gospels where Jesus just kind of doesn't sound like himself. We're reading and studying about a Jesus who does not come to bring peace, but comes to bring division. And it seems that division is kind of the last thing that most people want to talk about, because we see division all the time in this world, right? We see division in the news, and we're divided along political lines, religious ideologies, and other ways that we're divided. But I would say that this passage of Jesus is inherently political, as much as we want to avoid politics in worship. There is sort of a political element to what Jesus does and who Jesus is and what Jesus believes and stands for. And I promise that this sermon will get to a positive end, and if you'll trust me, we'll go through this passage together to try to understand what Jesus was saying. So the tone, of course, is unavoidable. Jesus begins the passage by saying, "I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and to what constraint I am under until it is completed." The Westminster Study Bible, which I now use, reminds its readers several times in its commentary on the Gospel of Luke that Jesus shared this message that was so strongly worded that it might have even been considered hyperbole. But it's also important to remember that much of this had been predicted. Remember Simeon, the old man that saw Jesus as an infant before he died, and he said, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace." That story is a little bit lesser known, but some of you might remember that. One of the other things that Simeon said, and this is from Luke 2, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed." And speaking to Mary, he says, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." Metaphorically, Simeon might have been saying to Mary that her own son's ministry could break her heart or her family's hearts. And when the writers of the Bible talk about people leaving their own families for the sake of responding to the call of God, scholarly research tells us that they're being quite literal. Jared E. Alcantara, a preaching professor at Baylor University, notes that Jesus did not claim to come to destroy families, but rather he believed that families being destroyed was inevitable, because what he said was deeply unpopular. This division happens when people have different beliefs about Jesus being the Messiah, causing strong disagreements in families and sometimes leading to painful separations. Remember, most of the people in biblical times were Jewish. And so the Jewish faith has a different understanding of Jesus than we do. And so that kind of belief would have been pretty strange for some people. And all of us know all too well that our families sometimes disagree when it comes to matters of faith. In fact, let's try a show of hands. How many people in this room have at least one family member with whom you strongly disagree on religious issues? Anyone? That was not the result I was expecting. Somebody in your life you probably disagree with on religious issues. I'm just going to pretend that's how you responded. Oh well, you win some, you lose some. Oh, you people. So that question leads me to my next point. I can't tell you how many times I've been criticized for being a member of the United Church of Christ, whether as a pastor or as or even before I was a pastor. I can't tell you how many times I've been questioned for my more progressive belief system. Like when I was a seminary student, I was taking an Uber and we were small talking, and he said, "Where do you go to school?" And I said, "Oh, I go to Eden Theological Seminary." And he goes, "Oh, Eden Theological Seminary. There's some false teachings over there. You better be careful." That was kind of a reminder to me, like, "Oh boy, maybe I should say I go to St. Louis University or something like that." But I don't know if I could have even won with that guy. Who knows? But to put it bluntly, I've heard similar criticisms from folks in this wider community. There have been people who have said, "You know, I probably won't come to your church because you believe in this and this and this." And you know, there are plenty of churches for those people in this town. And that's okay. You know, we are all different, and we all have different beliefs, and it's okay. But I believe one of the strongest elements of what we do is how warmly we welcome people, and our belief that the barriers that might prevent other people from being fully included into the life of this community, you know, don't matter so much to us. And let's be honest, sometimes that welcome will set us apart. It might even cause friction with some other churches in town. But that's exactly the kind of division that Jesus is talking about. Not division for its own sake, not just pyrotechnics, but the division that comes from a love which refuses to be silenced. When Jesus is talking about setting fire on the earth, what if we thought about fire not as a scary thing, but as a good thing? Think about how a controlled burn clears away what is dead so that new life can grow. Anyone who's a naturalist or enjoys nature knows that fire has benefits. It clears away dead plants and underbrush, letting sunlight in and helping trees get more nutrients to grow larger and more healthy. Maybe the fire that Jesus burns away in our hearts is prejudice, fear, or our tired ways of being church, so that something stronger and more healthier and more spirit-filled can grow. When Jesus is talking about casting fire on the earth, what if that fire comes from a desire to refine and reform the earth into what Jesus believes God wants it to be? And even though the message of Jesus was divisive, we can't deny that, the message of love that Jesus proclaimed was countercultural, revolutionary, and deeply needed. And I believe the same is true for us. I believe that Jesus is calling us to be bold with sharing our message of love and inclusion through scriptures like this. Even though it might be easy to read the tone of Jesus here as angry or bitter, and I think, you know, maybe there's some truth to that, Jesus calls us instead to refine and reform the church into what God desires it to be for the future. You know, we know that the ways of doing church that you and I have grown up with are changing. our metrics are different. The ways that we measure success in a church are different than they were 50 years ago. That's just unavoidable. But we have this opportunity. We have a beautiful opportunity. I think churches like ours have an opportunity to share a deep love with a community in need of it. In this divided world, I think we have a job to do as more progressively minded Christians. I think a part of our job is to show a different kind of church. A church where people are truly welcome as they are without asterisks or without unless you are. Right? Not how others want them to be. You know, being church no longer gives us the luxury of saying, you are welcome as long as you fit into our mold. Because if that's the way we think, this church will not grow. And doing that kind of welcome takes risks. If we decided to be more bold in sharing our convictions, not everybody would like it. Our families and other people in this community might question us. But I believe that there are so many gifts to be gained from deeper advocacy in this community, from a wider community presence and outreach, and each of us sharing our gifts in our own particular ways. You know, today's media song talks about finding the courage to grow, and it starts with these stirring lyrics. This is a song for those who lost their hope a long time ago. I know someday that you will find it somehow. This song talks about how when we have the courage to grow and when we confront the ways that we've lost hope, we can embody the change in the world that we so desperately need. Now, each of you has felt a sense of belonging here. That's why you're here. And many of you have told me powerful stories about how this church saved your life. And as you go forward this week, may you go forward with courage, thinking about all of that, thinking about the ways that you might refine your faith so that we can reform the church together. It's not going to be easy, friends. In fact, it's going to be messy, and it might challenge the relationships we have with others. But if we do everything we do in a spirit of love, with a heart for hopefulness, with a spirit of gratitude and generosity because of what God has given us and what God does in our lives, there are so many ways that God can use us to create the change in the world that we want to experience. When we begin to live into the world that God longs for, our spirits won't just feel relief, they'll be set ablaze with joy. That is the holy fire that Jesus brings. So yes, fire can be dangerous. It can be divisive. It can even be political. But in God's hands, fire becomes creative, renewing, and life-giving. That's the fire Jesus sets in our hearts. A fire that refines and restores and gives us courage to help a hurting world experience more love and more hopefulness and more belonging. So friends, let's get to work so that this may be so. You have so many gifts to give. And there are so many ways that I have seen your hearts ablaze with joy. So let's put that joy to work. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now we come into a time of more intentional prayer. Let's think of the people and situations that are on our hearts today in a time of silence, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Amen. I have a couple of prayer requests that I've been given. And as usual, I will give an intercession and I'll say, God in your mercy. And if you like, I invite you to respond with, receive our prayer. God in your mercy, receive our prayer. So Paul Hartel asks for prayers. He's having knee surgery in 2 weeks. So for Paul and his wife Josie and Paul's medical team, God in your mercy. Also, I ask for continuing prayers for Kathy Vanderbush and for Brian as he cares for her, and for Kathy's medical team who is helping her on her cancer journey. God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring today?
I want to wish my mom and dad a happy 34th wedding anniversary today.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Congratulations. Yes, sure. Congratulations to Amy and Alan, and we give God thanks for their love and for the ways that their love has enriched the world. God in your mercy. Anything else today? Okay. Anything on Zoom? No. Okay. Then let's be in prayer. God of grace, sometimes we wonder in this divisive world, how can we be a light? What can we do? How can we provide hope in the midst of so much hurt, so much bullying, so much othering? And yet we remember that you give us an invitation. Because you have already set our hearts ablaze with joy and ablaze with the knowledge of your love that can conquer all fear. So we give thanks for gathering us from wherever we may be. We give you thanks for giving us a spirit of love for one another and for our communities. And with that love, we remember people in our community who need your presence today. People like Paul and Kathy and their medical team. And for their spouses. We give thanks for folks like Alan and Amy who are celebrating milestones in their own lives and the love that is ablaze in their hearts. We ask you to empower us to do what we can with hearts emblazoned with justice and joy for those who are experiencing homelessness and food insecurity and poverty and discrimination in all of its forms, whether racism or sexism or heterosexism or ableism or xenophobia, homophobia, transphobia, any way that discrimination is formed. May we burn those tired patterns to the ground, refining them with hope, deep inclusion, deep belonging, in a world where everybody has enough love, enough resources, enough money. Just enough. We pray all of these things in the name of the countercultural revolutionary Jesus, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give as the ushers come around with the offering plate. You may place a gift in there, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you give generously with the spirit of keeping this ministry and the ministry in the Church Universal ablaze with joy. Prayer of dedication. Holy, holy, holy God, who provides, who gifts, and who refines, we offer these gifts to you in gratitude and hope. May they extend beyond the walls of our sanctuaries so that your name will be known through us. May they spark hope and joy to dispel despair and despondency. May their needs be met and lives changed through our giving and our living. Receive these gifts as our tangible prayer that your kingdom come and will be done. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 561, Christ for the World We Sing. My friends, receive these words of benediction. As you go, cast fire to burn the acceptance of injustice, to illuminate the way of peace, to warm the bonds of human connection, to clear the path to a new world we build together. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.